Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
According to the weather forecast for this morning, the 16th of February, and if you are listening in the eastern townships of Quebec, the snow will be tumbling down outside of your window. We've already cancelled the potluck lunch we were going to have today at church. And if you're one of the many who may not make it to your regular place of worship today, may the Lord bless us as we reflect upon his word. As regular listeners know, my name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke, and we bring you this programme on CJMQ Radio, broadcasting to the eastern townships of Quebec and beyond. Words from Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly
snow.
Let us pray. God of majesty and mystery, we come in wonder and humility. Source of all that is, you are beyond our imagining, astonishing us with the detail and designs within your creation. In Jesus, you are the word of hope and healing, and you touch our lives with truth and tenderness, revealing our need and our gift. Spirit of purpose and possibility, you move within us when we least expect it, awakening our gifts, urging us to respond. Receive our praise and prayer this day, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and help us to receive your word with its wisdom and warning. For we come to you through Christ our Lord, trusting in his grace and truth. God of life and love, we confess that we're not always shining examples of the love that we long for. Forgive us for those times when we failed to keep our word and disappointed those who love us. Forgive us when we gave in to our tempers and temptations and disappointed your hopes for us. Renew and remake us through the grace of your Son Jesus, your love made flesh. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So let us rejoice in the love and grace that forgives our sins and encourages us and teaches us to love one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On these Sunday mornings, we're following the Jesus story as it's given in Luke's Gospel. And today we have what is called the Sermon on the Plain. Not the Sermon on the Mount, but a sermon that's from a level place. But in some ways, it still sounds like the Sermon on the Mount. You'll hear what I mean as together we look at Luke chapter 6 at verse 17. Jesus went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." Amen.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
One of the confusing things about Christianity in countries like ours is trying to work out what real difference it makes in people's lives. From time to time, surveys are done trying to find out, and while they're able to detect some different beliefs, if they survey lifestyle indicators, they generally find that people who identify themselves as followers of Jesus can be indistinguishable from people around them. They work the same sorts of jobs, for the same sorts of hours, and the same pay. They live in the same sorts of houses, with the same sorts of mortgages, and drive the same sorts of cars. They send their kids to the same sorts of schools and do the same sorts of things with their holidays. Of course, there are glorious exceptions of those who make vows and promises of chastity and poverty and obedience, and those who make sacrificial giving their watchword and who support others through their generous offerings. The readings from Luke's Gospel and our psalm all spoke of there being two significantly different ways of living, a way that is blessed but at odds with the world around us, and a way that goes with the flow, with the majority, but leads to ruin. So are we getting it all wrong somewhere? It's not a new question, though I suspect it might be even more extreme than ever before. For Jesus' words about "blessed are you who are poor" and "woe to you who are rich" have been causing his followers to look for loopholes ever since he spoke to them. The better-known version from Matthew's Gospel, yes, the Sermon on the Mount, already contains evidence of the early attempts to soften the blow of those words. In Matthew's account, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are you who hunger for righteousness." But even then, the difficulty comes in trying to explain how one can be poor in spirit while focusing a lot of time and energy on trying to be, well, at least as well off as those around us. We may not feel wealthy, but there's a massive advertising industry that keeps assuring us that we are not there yet. But on a global scale, the average Canadian is in the top 5 to 10% of the world's wealthiest people. The readings we heard speak of two different ways, as the ways of two and separate competing, well, as it were, religions. It's not that those who pursue wealth and comfort and celebrity have no religious faith, but that they have put their faith in something other than what Jesus calls us to put our faith in. It's still a kind of religion. We might call it the cult of consumerism, a religious faith system, and it's so massively dominant in our society that it's impossible for us to be untouched by it. You only have to watch a few ads on the TV to see how religious its claims are. They don't tell you that you should consider this car because it will reliably transport you from A to B. As a visitor and temporary resident in Canada, I am fascinated by the number of adverts for pickup trucks that you see on Canadian TV. People charging into the wilderness for a real Canadian experience, especially on a snowy winter's day like today may be. And they tell you that owning it will change your life and make you a better and more desirable person, more authentically Canadian. It's the Canadian thing to do. The meaning of life, the fulfillment of our deepest yearnings, is always just a purchase away and then another. And if you're not sure what purchase will take you there, just look around and learn from other consumers. Just follow the crowd. Salvation is at hand. The phenomena of shopping as a way to deal with an emotional state is now well known. But equally well known is the fact that the relief is only ever short-lived. Like a drug, there's always another hit needed, and salvation is forever, still another purchase away. John Paul Getty was the billionaire who, when asked, "How much money does it take to satisfy a man?" answered, "Just a little bit more." Jesus offers us a radically different vision to the cult of consumerism. He makes it clear that not only does salvation not lie in the accumulation of possessions, but that the accumulation of possessions is itself an insidious addiction that makes it virtually impossible for us to embrace the things that are the way of salvation. "You cannot serve two masters," said Jesus. And learning to trust God is pretty near impossible so long as we're accumulating the stuff that everyone else is putting their trust in. These things can become religious idols, material objects that become objects of worship and securers of our hopes and dreams. Jesus is not opposed to abundance or enamored with miserable impoverishment. The miracle of the loaves and fish is just one of many examples of Jesus demonstrating God's promise of abundance for all. And Jesus invited the rich as well as the poor to come follow him, although he openly observed that the rich found it far more difficult to take up his invitation. Jesus offers a life beyond what we see and touch and feel, a life in the here and now that's directed forward towards the future that is up ahead and over the horizon, the then and the there. It's found in Jesus. It's said that there are only two ways to reach the sort of openness to God that will transform our lives. Just two ways: prayer or suffering. Seeking God or suffering. And since most people aren't able to make the commitment to seeking God and to prayer that it might be needed, so for many of us, the only thing that will open us up to God is suffering. And Jesus says, "Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven." We have trouble in believing that, don't we? We're caught in the midst of a massive clash of cultures, one of which we have simply inherited without ever thinking about it, and the other which we are called to cross over to. And if that call came simply as a set of instructions, we'd have no hope. But it doesn't. It comes in the person of Jesus, in God come among us as one of us to lead us in the new way. In Jesus, we've seen what this new way looks like. And though it might take a death before there's resurrection for us too, we do know that the way of life will prevail, and that even death itself cannot destroy the life that God gives to those who seek and suffer for him. Amen. Let us again turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. We give you all thanks and praise, O God, for in you and your kingdom all hunger will be brought to an end, and all grief will be turned to laughter, and the kingdom will be given to those who had nothing. You created of the world and all that lives in it. You called us to trust you and to put down our roots alongside the life-giving stream of your word. Your Son, Jesus Christ, came among us and demonstrated your solidarity with all who live in poverty and hunger and grief and hostility. And though crowds sought him for wisdom and healing, those who were rich, satisfied, powerful, preferred false prophets to true, and so they hated him, defamed him, and had him killed. But our hope did not die with him, for you raised him from the dead as the first fruits of those who have died, opening the way of resurrection life to us all and to all who have faith. We come before you today, carrying hopes and dreams, burdens and blessings of our lives. We bring all that is on our hearts and minds to you, seeking your comfort and strength, listening for your guidance, grateful that you hear us when we pray. God of life and love, we give you thanks that you engage us whenever we need you, in the midst of challenge and uncertainty. We pray today for all those who are fearful about their future, and for all who wrestle with challenges at work or at home. Help us face our fears and our challenges, sure of your steadfast love. God of hope and healing, in Jesus Christ, you confronted demons that trouble our minds and the pain and illness that can weigh us down. We pray today for all those who are suffering health concerns and for all who care for the suffering and those in need of support. Surround each one with your steadfast love. We bring to you our world in all its confusion, its complexity. Speak peace amongst the nations and reconcile peoples to yourself. Let there be a just end to war and a lasting peace that may endure in the nations and the trouble spots of the world. And hear us now as further we pray in the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Rejoice if you're in heart, rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your festal banner wave on high, the cross of Christ your King. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Lead on through life's long path, still chanting as we go.
Been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.